I also really don't like camping, and I'm so glad you said you don't like camping, because I feel it's so good, because I feel like it's so stigmatized not to like camping.
I don't get the appeal. I have everything I love and want and need in my house, and
welcome everyone to E-commerce Unscripted. This is the podcast where we help you achieve WooCommerce mastery. My name is Sam Greenspan, and I am a marketer here at GoDaddy. I am joined today by two great panelists. First up, coming to us from the shores of the beautiful Detroit River in Michigan, USA, this is Benjamin Green. Benj, will you please introduce yourself?
Hello, hello. My name is Benjamin, or Benj. I work on the support team here, that doing customer care here at GoDaddy, helping people with WooCommerce.
And joining us from just across a beautiful bridge, and then driving for a while, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Tamara Zook. Tam, will you please introduce yourself?
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me, Sam. My name is Tamara, or I go by Tam affectionately. I work as the support engineer at SkyVerge GoDaddy, which basically is a fancy way of saying I help with technical support, and I help our customers deal with the trickiest of problems that they may run into.
That is great. And today, we are going to be talking about personalization. That is to say, we're going to be talking about personalizing the e-commerce shopping experience for customers at your store or your client stores. We're not talking about personalizing like engraving people's names onto glassware. Anyway, we're talking about the type of personalization where you are customizing the experience for customers, not customizing products for them. Although personalized products are a valuable service too. That's not what we're focusing on today. 94% of e-commerce companies say personalization is critical to their success, and studies have shown that it can boost revenue by anywhere from 8% up to 19%, but fewer than one-third of e-commerce brands feel like they're getting personalization right. So our goal here today is to help you get personalization right for your WooCommerce stores. We're going to talk about why personalization is so important. Then we're going to discuss strategies to optimize WooCommerce sites for personalization. But first, we're going to start with some stats and some questions. The first question I'm going to throw out to our panelists is, how do you feel when a store personalizes a shopping experience based on your shopping behavior or your shopping history?
Well, that's a really big question, because personalization is just a really big topic. Like, there's a lot of different ways you can go about it. I tend to be the kind of person where a lot of the efforts at personalization come off as pretty creepy. I don't like feeling like I've been followed around. And yet, I do acknowledge that it does often offer me a good service. So I am really susceptible to the whole, you've bought this thing before, would you like to buy it again? I tend to say, yes, I will buy that again. And I think probably like my favorite personalization feature would be that. It's like, if you buy this thing at our store, we're going to suggest that you buy it again. That's one that I get a lot of use out of.
That's great. And Tam, what about you? How do you feel when you get a real personalized shopping experience when you're on an e-commerce site?
I personally prefer it that way. I always, when I'm shopping on a new e-commerce site, I try to find a way that I can create an account so that have record of, I don't know what it is about me. I just like to make sure I have an account I can log into. I can go look at my previous orders. And I think that also helps the e-commerce merchant offer me a more personalized experience while I'm shopping, because they're able to look at, you know, some of the products that I've viewed or some of the products that I've purchased previously. And just like Benj, I do have a tendency to buy things again, especially when someone reminds me that I bought them before. So I'm a big fan of it, and I rarely have been creeped out by it.
There is a funny tweet, I'll link to it in the show notes, where someone was like, they bought a toilet seat. They said, you know, I just needed a toilet seat. I'm not like a toilet seat collector. Like, you don't have to keep recommending toilet seats to me. But 75% of customers say they like it when brands personalize promotional messages, and 56% say they are more likely to use an online retailer that provides a good personalized experience. But you both alluded to it, and it comes part and parcel with personalization, which is the machines watching us. So, Tam, I'll kick this to you first. What is the creepiest personalized shopping experience you've had?
I think it kind of goes back to when I was pregnant and searching for, you know, specific things that pregnant mothers may want to go buy. All of a sudden, pretty much everybody knew with the way that cookies and marketing works right now on the internet, everybody knew all of the retailers I like, that I was pregnant, and started offering me, you know, baby items that I might want to buy. Or, you know, it can get a little bit creepy where they're almost like knowing the stage of pregnant you are right now. They're offering you the products you might need.
And I will attest that when my wife was pregnant, it completely changed like the ads we would get when we were watching the streaming shows on our TV. Like, it would very much change all of a sudden what we were being targeted with. You're right. They know. That is a market that people want to advertise to. So that is a lucrative cohort of people to whom you can advertise.
Absolutely. New parents spend a lot of money on a lot of things.
Yes. Benj, what is the creepiest personalized shopping experience that you've had?
So I would just echo that, like, during pregnancy or new baby times, that there were a lot of ads following me. But probably the creepiest one that comes out to my mind was actually I was ring shopping when I was going to propose to my then girlfriend. I was like being super secretive, using like friends' computers and stuff like that. And then I started getting ads on my own devices. Like it totally just drew a connection somewhere.
Wow.
And I started getting engagement ring ads on my own devices. And that felt a little creepy.
So did the ads expose your plan to your girlfriend before you were able to propose?
I'm not exactly a master of subtlety, so she wasn't exactly surprised. Okay. But no, the ads did not give me away, but they might as well have, I guess.
I'd say for me, the creepiest personalized shopping experience are one of those where you really feel like the only way the advertisers could know you were interested in something is if they were listening to your conversations, not through your browsing behavior, like where you have a conversation about something and then you get the advertisement for it. And you're like, did I search for that or are they listening to me? And there are cases where I feel like someone had to be listening to me, and that always freaks me out.
I've had that happen, but I always wonder if it's just like some very intelligent algorithms. Like, for example, with Benj, what if it was just, you know, them figuring out he's been in a long-term relationship and it could go one of two ways at this point, right? Either he's ready to propose or he's ready to kick it.
Yeah. Maybe it's a compliment they were showing you ring advertisements and not like Tinder and Bumble advertisements. Like they really like believed in your relationship.
There we go. Yes. Statement of confidence.
So you guys were algorithmically spoken for. All right. 63% of people say they will stop buying from a company after a creepy interaction. And the things that people find the creepiest are: one, chat pop-ups using AI, push notifications based on browsing or shopping behavior, ads featuring products or brands I looked at, and also targeted too many times or for too long. Like if you research one thing on a lark and then advertisements follow you around for weeks after that, and you're like, I didn't really want that. I just clicked a random link, and then all of a sudden, you know, you can't get away from the ads. So now we're going to bring it back the other way. That's the stuff that makes us a little creeped out. But people are willing to trade some level of personal data for personalization. So, Tam, you said you make accounts. So let's start with you. When are you willing to trade your personal data for some level of personalization?
I think it depends on how much I trust the retailer, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's important.
There is a loyalty program called PC Optimum Points here in Canada that I absolutely love. And I will buy anything with that card just for the points, I know I'm trading my personal information and my shopping habits with a company. And this, but I'm getting something in return for it. I'm not only getting these points that I can use to save money in the future, I'm also getting personalized, targeted deals sent to me weekly that are for items that I would be interested in buying. So I find that it saves me money in the end, and I'm kind of okay with it at this point. But I'm not sure if I would, you know, maybe like a small retailer merchant. I'm not sure if I would feel as comfortable with, you know, if they had some sort of questionnaire to ask me about my daily habits. I might not want to answer it quite so easily, right?
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. So trust is a major factor. Like, for some reason, we feel like the giant corporations are more trustworthy somehow with like our data.
And that might not always be the case, as
right,
we but, know, yeah. but they right. just it just feels like it is more trustworthy.
All right, Benj, what about you? When are you willing to trade some personal data for the sake of personalization?
I feel like I really like to do it with the smaller end of companies. So we get like a lot of our groceries from a local place here, and they will offer us recommendations based on other things we've purchased. And I respond a lot better to that than I do if, say, like a big box store that I have an account with is sending me emails with recommendations. I don't know. It just feels more personal. So I like it from someone whose face I've seen before, maybe. It might be the element there. I like when also if there's something, I don't know, I'll just pick a random camping here. I'm not into camping, but if I was trying to get into camping, I would need a lot of help in that process. So like I would be willing to hand over some data to a retailer if I trust them to help me learn about camping and actually sell me the actual things I need to go out and become a camping aficionado.
No, that's good information. Why people are willing to trade personal data for personalization? The top reason people are willing to give up personal data is for personalized discounts on things they want. Also because they want to get promotions for new brands or products they might like. And then beyond that, it's for replenishment reminders. So reminders to reorder products they've ordered in the past that they need, consumable products. And then the final reason is for cart abandonment reminders. All right. We're going to play a little bit of crystal ball here. This is an e-commerce industry challenge question. So basically every article about the future of e-commerce says more personalization is coming, not less personalization, right? We all see that the train is moving that direction. So what types of personalized experiences do you think we're going to start seeing more of from e-commerce sites in the near or even not so near future?
I think they're going to get just a lot better at micro-targeting as we get more and more connected. There's just more and more data points being tracked about us at any given moment. And right now, my wife and I use the same internet connection a lot, and so we might get ads for each other. I think that algorithms will get better at splitting that traffic and targeting her separately from me, being able to offer more specific things to people.
I agree with Benj with that and being able to like target specific things more specifically than it is right now. But I feel like it's, for me at least, it's doing a wonderful job already selling me all the things that I may want. The way I see things, I don't know if you guys have seen those like vitamin merchants where there's like a whole questionnaire of things that you fill out. I see that as being not just for vitamins, but in general, like answer some questions about like the type of clothes you like to wear, like what are your favorite colors and things like that, where you fill out a questionnaire and it starts to recommend things to you based on what you selected. I see that as showing up more and more across merchants, like a more personalized and more customized product based on the things that you like.
Yeah, those are both great answers. And I don't have a statistic here, The only statistic I had was that 100% of articles about the future of e-commerce say that personalization is the future. Don't quote me on that, but it's somewhere around there. So, all right. We'll be back right after this to discuss strategies for incorporating more personalization into your WooCommerce store.
A free domain and SSL certificate, super fast setup, daily backups, tons of free website themes, and thousands of dollars of included plugins, all for under $20 a month? It's true. Check out GoDaddy's managed hosting plans at GoDaddy.com.
And we are back. My name is Sam. I am joined with Benj and Tam, and we are talking about personalization for WooCommerce stores. So we're going to start with some basic strategies and then move into more intermediate and then advanced ones. So to jump into the basics, the first thing we want to talk about is just using WooCommerce to link products that can be sold with other products. Basically, using WooCommerce's built-in cross-selling features.
WooCommerce Core just allows you to set up linked products. When you're setting up your products, you can select products that you find to be related in some way to this product, and it will automatically show them as cross-sells both on the product page and the cart in certain situations, depending on how you've configured WooCommerce. And it's a great way to sell. It's kind of similar to how Amazon says, hey, if you like this, you might also like that.
Right.
That's basically how the cross-sells work in WooCommerce currently.
Right. And we'll talk about a little more advanced stuff you can do with an extension later on, but that's the basic way, you know, to just get started with. It's not super personalized, but your thought is if someone's looking at this product, then there's a decent chance they'll be interested in this other product. So we'll just recommend that. It's easy. You don't have to install anything. It's right there built into WooCommerce, and you can set it up at the product level.
Like that guy buying toilet seats, maybe he also might want a toilet brush.
Right. Yeah. As opposed to more toilet seats, you'd actually want other toilet related accessories. All right. And then another basic thing you can do in WooCommerce is the recently viewed products widget that's right there built in as well.
Yeah. I mean, it is just what it sounds like. It's a widget that shows a list of your customers' recently viewed products. So you can put it right there anywhere that you can put a widget for your customers to see. And if they've looked at something recently, they might be more inclined to look at it again and add it to their cart.
So, you know, there's no real harm in setting this up and adding it to your site. So between that and just doing the linked cross sells, that can get you started with, again, this just very basic, very simple personalization. But now let's move on to a little more intermediate. Let's talk about some premium extensions you can use to increase the personalization on your site. So the first one I want to talk about is cart add-ons, which can do more targeted cross selling and kind of expands on the linked products in WooCommerce. So Tam, do you want to talk a little bit about the cart add-ons extension and sort of contrast that with those cross sells that are built into WooCommerce itself?
Yes. So the cart add-ons extension will allow you to select specific products that you can pretty much upsell your customers during the cart process when they're viewing their cart. They're able to see these like additional things that like, hey, maybe you wanted to also buy this while you're here at our store. I think it's an excellent way of upselling customers and just like making sure that some of your like most popular products are seen by every customer.
And what are the advantages in using that over just what's built into WooCommerce?
With WooCommerce, you wouldn't be able to automatically add things to the cart page. The way that I look at the cart add-ons extension, it's essentially that candy bar next to a cash register.
Yeah, it's a great analogy. Yeah.
It's just while the customer is already ready to pay, have them pay a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah, I think that if I were setting something up, the cart add-ons really seems to me like one of the highest impact ones, because once someone's on the cart page, they might just be, you know, clicking through to check out. You know, they're not browsing the site anymore necessarily, and that sort of a thing. And so getting just one last chance to put it in front of your customers, would you like to add this? It's a very high impact place. Maybe stands out even a little bit more than it would on just a regular product page.
Yeah, that's a great point. And so as we just continue to scale up our personalization and increment up, the next thing we're going to talk about are using automated emails. So, and automated emails are a great way to send targeted emails to specific people at specific times based on specific triggers or specific events. So we're going to recommend the Automate Woo extension, which is you can set up automations, automated sequences for a number of different triggers right there in WooCommerce. Benj, would you like to talk a little bit to start about some of the things you can do with Automate Woo from this perspective of personalization, but also the broader version of personalization, which we haven't even touched on yet, which is segmentation?
Oh, man. Automate Woo is a great tool. You can do a lot with it. One of the really useful segments that it offers is the ability to target inactive customers. So like people who have bought from your store before, maybe even bought multiple times from your store before, but it's been a while, and you can automatically send them emails that include like special offers and recommendations for them that might get those customers to visit your store again. Another useful segment that you can target with Automate Woo would be people who have purchased recently. You can target them and email them and ask for reviews, and you could offer discounts based on how many reviews that they give and stuff like that. That lets you really build customer loyalty in addition to the personalization.
That's great. And Tam, what about you? Thoughts on using Automate Woo and sending automated emails to make a personalized experience for customers?
I think Automate Woo is a very powerful extension. I would highly recommend it for most WooCommerce stores, if not every WooCommerce store. What Benj brought up, absolutely, those are great points. On top of that, I would also look at sending automated emails based on previous purchase behaviors to, let's say you're launching a new product. You're able to segment and find people who purchased in the same category before and recommend your new product straight out to them. Another great thing that you can do in Automate Woo is send an email for any abandoned carts. Mm-hmm. And with that, using the information that you have based on like their previous purchases, you're able to like send them, like if you've seen that they've purchased with discounts before, you might want to, you know, send a discount with your card amendment email and remind them to come in and like, hey, there are these products that are sitting in your cart that you might want to purchase. Don't forget about us, sort of thing.
Yeah. No, I think that speaks really well to what personalization can be in an ideal sense in email marketing. Because I think what we see a lot of people think of when it comes to personalization, email marketing, it's just adding a customer's name to like the subject line or the banner headline. Like the email moves like, hi, Sam. And that technically is personalization, but that's not the kind of personalization that sells. The kind of personalization that sells is, for instance, what Tam said, sending people, okay, here's what was in the cart you abandoned. And also here's what you specifically may like to buy from our store. That's powerful email personalization. And that's the kind of stuff that we're recommending that you do here. Sure, you know, including someone's name and saying, you know, hi, mail merge the name. There, that has its place and time, but the personalization you can do runs so much deeper, and sending people the right targeted emails at the right time based on their behavior is high-level personalization that can then really yield great results. As we've seen, automated emails can be extraordinarily lucrative. Like we used to benchmark them at, you know, several magnitudes of order more lucrative than your traditional newsletters or sales announcements. So definitely get automated emails going. And we'd always recommend people start with cart abandonment. It's a really good place to start. Those can bring in a lot of money, and it's a really great opportunity to get your foot wet on personalization. So as we transition from there, we'll continue to take this even more advanced. Now we're going to talk about something that came up in our earlier discussions, both as a pro and a con, and that is retargeting ads based on someone's shopping behavior. Tam, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about ad retargeting, and you can retarget ads these days on everything, someone's browsing behavior, someone's cart abandonment behavior, and more, and just strategies for stores to use that the right way so they don't enter into that creepy zone that we discussed earlier.
Well, as I discussed, I don't get creeped out very easily.
Apparently. That's true. You have a high threshold.
It could be just because I understand how it works a little bit better.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know that, you know, I'm being targeted because of my previous behavior. in this particular browser session. Like, it's a, like, so that might be why. I think it's an absolutely very powerful tool, but there is a line that you can cross by being just a little bit overly eager. And, you know, if it's just showing up, if I'm opening a web page and I'm seeing three of the exact same ad for the same product, I might get a little bit annoyed.
Yes.
But I think it absolutely makes perfect sense to be sure that your ads are targeted towards your target audience, towards the people who are more likely to purchase your product based on their previous browsing behaviors and shopping behaviors.
Yeah, I think nobody likes to be yelled at. And so if it feels like your ads are following people around the internet yelling at them, nobody's really going to like that. But if your ads feel like they're giving information to your customers that they maybe wouldn't have otherwise. So if someone has come to your site before and been interested and then left it, and you want to advertise to that person again, I think it's good to make sure you target them, but not for too long and not too overwhelmingly. Like Tam mentioned, if you go on the same site and every ad on the page is from the same site, that's a little bit too much over the line.
Yeah, I think that those are both really good advice. And we also would say that about cart abandonment emails, which is the sort of take the hint, give someone the right window to make their decision. With, you know, with the cart abandonment, it would be like, let's say 48 hours. And then if they haven't acted on your marketing messages by that point, odds that they're going to are lower than the odds that they're going to get annoyed by you continuing to pester them. So maybe that's the time to cut bait on that. So, right. One of the things in the study earlier, people do not like being followed around for too long. So follow them around the right amount of time. But yeah, I would say that retargeting ads can be very powerful. And as you're trying to figure out your ad spend, putting some money toward that. So a lot of ads that you place are going to be sort of very top of the sales funnel, where you're introducing people to your product. These are not that. These are people who are aware of your product, who have demonstrated an interest in your product. So you're hitting them a little lower in the sales funnel, and that could be a good place to invest some of your ad spend as well. All right, and let's move on to our last advanced idea, and that is using personalized recommendations on your site. So there are some third-party extensions out here that can do that, things like Recommendations Engine or Product Recommendations for WooCommerce. Ben, do you have any thoughts on using those personalized recommendations extensions and the right ways and perhaps even the wrong ways to use something like that on an e-commerce site?
Those are often a really good way to go for merchants who, you're running this store, you probably don't have a lot of extra time, and you might guess wrong about what products that your customers might like to buy together. And so handing that over to an extension that can maybe do a bit more automatic, showing your customers things that other customers have frequently bought together and things like that, extensions that can do some of that heavy lifting for you, I think is a really good way to go. But you need to make sure that you don't like just hand it all over to the extension and forget about it. You still need to keep an eye on it, make sure that the technologies work in the way you want it to, and get everything dialed in to where you want it to be.
Tam, what about you? What are your thoughts on using those personalized recommendations extensions?
I think it's a great idea to install a plugin like that and give it a try and see if it converts well. I do believe it would, as long as it's not going over that line that we keep mentioning where things are just a little bit too pushy or too creepy there. But I think having an AI tool of some sort guessing the best sort of products that this customer would want to purchase, I think it's a great tool for every e-commerce store.
Yeah, and I will say, as much as every article on the future of e-commerce cites personalization, they all also cite AI. So this marries the two. And yes. So there's certainly a place for this. And I really like that idea of just try it out. You know, experimenting is always what we recommend for everything, but you may find really good results. So we'll be back right after this with our question and answer segment.
It's time to get your clients selling online in less time and for less money with GoDaddy Hosting. Learn more at GoDaddy.com.
We are back to do question and answer. Our first question today, should I centralize customer data for my WooCommerce store and physical store in WooCommerce or with an external CRM?
This is a tough question.
Yeah, it's a loaded one for sure.
As much as I love WooCommerce and think it's an absolutely powerful plugin, I do think that it still lacks a little bit in the customer management features that it offers. But they are building out the customer management features currently, and they're adding new features, you know, almost every major update. But in the meantime, I would absolutely recommend using an external CRM that works best for you. What's great with that is there are so many extensions out there that you can pretty much pick anyone. Just make sure that that one has an integration with WooCommerce where it will export your WooCommerce customers into it and all the details that you want there.
Great. And Benj, what do you think? Centralized customer data in WooCommerce or use a customer relationship management platform?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to answer this question with anything other than it depends, because it is just going to be different for every store. I do think I agree with Tam, though, that there are a lot of advantages with WooCommerce in its current state, as great as it is. There are probably a lot of advantages to be had by going with an external CRM if you can find one that works well for you.
Right on. All right, let's move on to the next question. Is it worth it for me to learn to code to get better at managing my WooCommerce store?
I'm happy to jump in here.
Sure, go for it, Dan.
No one wins. I think it is worth it if you are technically minded and you're able to wrap your head around it. I don't believe that you need to, you know, push yourself too hard if you are having trouble with learning it. Because there are so many experienced WooCommerce developers that you can hire to help you out with the managing of the WooCommerce store. And you can just focus on the business side of things. But for something that, for a small mom and pop shop, when you're just getting started, it might be like a good way to be able to customize some small little things on your store without having to shell out too much money. But as you grow and as you start bringing in more money, I would absolutely recommend getting an experienced WooCommerce developer to help out with things so that you can, you know, focus on things that really matter, like you know, planning out how you're going to set up your personalization, how you're going to set up your advertising, your marketing, your order fulfillment, everything else that goes into running an e-commerce store.
Yeah, it's a great answer. Benj, what do you think?
Yeah, once again, going to be pretty in line with what Tam said. I think if technical things are fun to you, like if you enjoy learning about code and things like that, by all means, it's worth it. There's a lot of benefit to be had in understanding some of the technical underpinnings of a major part of your business. But if technical questions feel like a huge stress to you, you know, you're already stressed enough running your business, you know, find somebody who enjoys that sort of work and pay them to do it is my take on it.
To me, the analogy is sort of like you want to get to a level of pretty decent competence to do minor repairs around your home, because you don't want to have to pay someone to come in and do things that you should really be able to do yourself with little to no difficulty. But, you know, if a pipe bursts in your wall, you're going to bring in an expert to handle that. And I think that that's sort of analogous here. I think it's always good to know what's going on, but you can bring in the experts for the big cases, and also be careful of getting to the point where you know just enough. This happens to me a lot, where you know just enough that you can lose an entire day trying to do something that someone else could have done in about 20 minutes, but you spend an entire day tinkering with it. And that's kind of the dangerous place to be. So I caution against falling into that trap, because I know I've been there many, many, many times. All right. Well, that is going to do it for our episode on personalization. I would like to thank our panelists again, Benjamin Green and Tamara Zook. Please go ahead and submit any questions you have for future Q&As with the link in the show notes. Also in the show notes, you will see links to all of the extensions which we discussed here today. In addition, if you are looking for new hosting or you're interested in great WooCommerce hosting, please check out GoDaddy's managed WordPress e-commerce hosting. It comes with nearly $6,000 worth of free extensions included, featuring many of the ones we've talked about today, including things like Automate Woo and Cart add-ons. It also comes with a free domain, free SSL, streamlined setup, and it costs less than $20 a month. So it's a really good opportunity. If you're looking for new hosting for yourself or your clients, please check it out. All right, Benj, Tam, any final words?
Just go get those customers.
All right, Tam, any thoughts from you?
Personalization is very important.
Fantastic. All right, everyone. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today, and we look forward to doing it again soon.